Welcome to Staying in the Black, a show about teachers and money. I'm Miss Black, a New York City educator, single mom, and personal finance translator. Join me as I build my runway to retirement. Each week, we'll share actionable steps, resources, and inspiration that educators can use to maximize their benefits and improve their personal finances. Staying in the Black means having more assets than liabilities and being able to pay off your debt without any problems. Stop living paycheck to paycheck and build a joyful life. Thank you for joining me. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Staying in the Black. I'm Miss Black, your host, and today's episode is a book review of Tiny Habits. And I read this book a while ago. It's Tiny Habits, The Small Changes That Change Everything by BJ Fogg, PhD. And I read this book a while ago and I was trying to batch some episodes. And so I've actually have about 3 or 4 book reviews in the hopper that I need to record to release to you all. I, as you know, am a personal finance nerd. I use all the information I gather really to apply to my life as an educator and to help educators with their money. Because we don't make a lot, but it's not what you make, it's what you keep. So, Tiny Habits. Just a bit of backstory before I start the review of this book. I read Power of a Habit, and I think I have a book review of that. I will look and see. I'm not sure, but I'm almost positive that I did a book review of that book. So I read Power of a Habit a couple of years ago, and I read it because I was considering the word discipline for my word of the year. If you've listened to this podcast, I don't do New Year's resolutions, but I do a word of the year. And the word to me has been much more helpful than the resolutions. The resolutions sometimes just bring up guilt, a whole bunch of stuff. It doesn't work for me. So I do a word. And I was considering discipline, and in considering discipline, habits came to mind. And so I borrowed the book, Power of a Habit, from the library. I'm glad that I borrowed it electronically. I'm an educator. I love to read. They always say, don't judge a book by its cover or its size. But after I read the book digitally, I then went to a friend's home and they had the book, and it is a pretty thick book. And I got through the whole book. I really enjoyed it. I learned a lot. And I say that because what I enjoyed about Power of a Habit, it really taught kind of like this thing about triggers and the habits that people have. But it was kind of set to me in the context of like business or consumer habits that we have. They definitely tried to make it personalized, but I felt like Power of a Habit was very macro to me. They spoke in the book about how to break it down into individual habits. It didn't work for me. Like, it just didn't resonate for me. I didn't necessarily know how to identify a proper trigger to help me with the habits, but I found the information really useful and it made me think and examine the habits that I have in a different light. So it was really helpful. After I read Power of a Habit, I began to read Atomic Habits. Now, Atomic Habits has been on the bestseller list for forever. When I started reading the book, it didn't really click for me. I think I got about a quarter, maybe halfway through it. And the author's a really good writer. For whatever reason, the book didn't resonate with me. And I think part of it was because I had heard him on several podcasts and he explained the book and kind of how it worked. What I liked about hearing him speak, which is probably was like, okay, this book isn't really resonating with me, but hearing the author speak, I was like, yes, I like him. I hear what he's saying. And again, he spoke about the format of the trigger and making things easier to start habits that made sense to me. And so I thought like, oh, I like this. Maybe I'll go back to finish the book. And I never did. But what I liked about hearing the author speak and how he did things, really, he spoke about how these habits that he had incorporated in his life on a regular basis really came to huge outcomes at the end of the year. So he tracks his habits in outcomes, I would say. So it's kind of like, if I work out every day, do I maintain my weight or do I lose weight? Am I able to, you know, maintain my muscle mass or that sort of thing, which really triggered me into, and I think fed into my ability and why tiny habits resonated with me so much. And I had to share that backstory so that you could see the steps that I've taken and why I really love this book. And I suggest, if you have the time or if you're working on things, is there something that you want to, either a habit that you want to incorporate or a habit that you want to extinguish, after reading, you know, all of Power of a Habit, some of Atomic Habit, and all of Tiny Habit, for me, Tiny Habit was the best book to have me or support me in creating new habits in my life. And it's really interesting on how you see the glass. Is it a half full glass or is it half empty glass? And I say that because you can use, in the book Tiny Habits, they speak about it in using it to incorporate new habits or extinguish habits that you think aren't helpful to you. In me incorporating this new habit, and for me, it was hanging my clothes in the closet. Don't judge me. But I have a chair in my room, and it was just really easy for me to take off my clothes and put it on the chair instead of take off my clothes and hang it up. Hey, we're not all angels. We aren't perfect. And in sharing this with you, I was thinking like, I definitely saw it as incorporating a new habit. But as I'm recording this, I'm thinking to myself, it helped me extinguish the habit of putting the clothes on the chair, which was really the bane of my existence, because I would end up at the end of the week or at the end of 2 weeks sometimes with all these clothes to hang up. And with my desire to incorporate this hanging up the clothes in the closet every time, it extinguished the putting it on the chair. So it's half full or half empty, basically. How are you looking at it? So let's get into the book and give you my thoughts, and definitely something that you should think about it. And so the book starts off immediately, and it's one of those like kind of books that they've been writing in the past couple of years where they, in the introduction or the foreword of the book, they basically give you the overview of the entire book, and then you go through chapter by chapter to kind of get really granular with what they explained in the introduction. So I read the introduction, and it totally made me want to continue to read and go through the entire book, which was really helpful. The other thing about this book and the author is Dr. B.J. Fogg is a professor at Stanford. And I went to the University of Maryland at College Park, which was a great state school. I feel like I got a great education. And this book, Tiny Habit, comes from Stanford University. And it's the second book from a professor or professors at Stanford that really resonate with me. And this whole design thinking format that they use at Stanford University. So that first book that I read that utilized design thinking was Design Your Life by one of the professors, is Emmett. There's two professors that wrote that book. And I definitely did a book review of that. I will look for it so that I can put it in the show notes. But Design Your Life, and it's just kind of this exploring your options. And what Dr. Fogg does in this book is kind of exploring what you want to happen and then identifying your trigger or the thing that will make it more likely that you will do the thing that you want to do or stop doing the thing that you don't want to do. And the introduction starts off, the title of the introduction is Change Can Be Easy and Fun. And you're like, as humans, we don't like change. But the first paragraph starts off is tiny is mighty. And I think when we think about habits, we really want to go big. And I will walk you through my process in the sense that before I even picked up the book, there was this habit that consciously or unconsciously I wanted to do. I found myself always slouching and I wanted to work on my posture. So I was scrolling through IG one day and I saw this meme about doing these three exercises every day to improve your posture. And so they looked fairly simple. And the challenge that I've always had with exercise is when to put it in my day. So I used to run at 5:30 in the morning and that was perfect because I would get up, but I also had an accountability partner. So it worked that way. In the case of these three exercises, it was kind of like, okay, Ms. Black, when are you going to do these things? And I found myself doing it right after my shower. I found like I would, you know, take my shower and everything. But before I would step out of my tub, I would do these exercises, these three exercises, which basically were putting my arms in circulation, like in small circles for a count of 25, and then pushing my elbows together in front of me for a count of 25, and then pulling my elbows back, kind of like if I had my arms out in wings, and just pulling my elbows back towards each other for a count of 25. And so I just started doing that before I even picked up the book. But then when I read the book and saw this tiny is mighty sort of thing, it was, what was the trigger for me? And the trigger for me was turning off the water in the shower. It was like, as soon as I turned the water off in the shower, I would just stand there and do these arm exercises. I don't even know if it took me 5 minutes, but that was what I decided to do. And I continue to do that. So I've probably been doing it now for about 6 or 7 months. It doesn't stress me out. It doesn't add so much time to me getting ready in the morning, but I've noticed a change in my posture. I sit up straighter. My shoulders are back. Again, a little, you know, I have a little definition in my shoulders all from that habit. So because I was already finding, and I was probably a couple of weeks in when I started reading the book, success for that, it kind of made me feel like, if you could do that without reading this book, this book may help you identify other habits that you can change. And so in the experiment of reading this book and wanting to put it into place so that I could record this episode for you all, and feed my need for lifelong learning, I said, well, what's going to be? And this hanging up the clothes was the one that I decided to go for. So tiny is mighty. Oftentimes when we want to start a new habit, we think of something really big. And honestly, it could be like I could have thought of it as clearing the chair regularly or whatever. To me, it was just like really simple. I want to hang up the clothes. Like I don't want to go to bed with the clothes hung up. And what they say in this book is, in order to design successful habits and change your behaviors, you should do three things. One, stop judging yourself. Two, take your aspirations and break them down into tiny behaviors. Three, Embrace mistakes as discovery and use them to move forward. And that those three things were really important. So if I found myself in the bed and the clothes hadn't been hung up, as soon as it clicked, I would get up and I would hang up the clothes so that I wouldn't berate myself and say like, oh, it's very simple, Miss Black. Like, this isn't rocket science. How difficult is it? I would also sit down and think like, what happened that I didn't hang up my clothes today? How did I forget what? And it would make me think. And it really helped me back it up so that I could be more successful with hanging up my clothes. And what I also loved is, so they're telling you theoretically how to work on your tiny habits, but they also support you. The author, he also supports you in getting it done because he has a whole website of things to help you identify your habits. And he tells like nice little anecdotes and anecdotal stories throughout the book. And one thing that he also says is, I found that there is only three things we can do to create lasting change: have empathy, change our environment, or change our habits in tiny ways. If you're, again, and he hones in on this tiny over and over and over again until it almost becomes a mantra, or, you know, in your head about like, just start small. We often want to start really, really big. And the essence, he says, of a tiny habit is, take the behavior you want, make it tiny, find where it fits naturally in your life, and nurture its growth. And that was happening with my posture exercises in the shower. It was just like, yes, I feel like I'm moving. And then after a couple of months and I saw the definition, I was like, oh, wow, it really isn't big. It is like, you know, moving my arm 75 times, basically, you know, just to work on my posture and holding my shoulders back. And what I find with hanging up the clothes is that it has helped me keep my room in much more order because I do this. And so it's tiny and it works. It's tiny, but it starts to spill over in other things because the clothes are not on the chair, then the shoes aren't hiding beneath the chair. And because the shoes are not hiding beneath the chair, all these other things are not doing. So it totally helped me in the organization. And with Tiny Habits Method, you focus on small actions that you can do in less than 30 seconds. It takes me less than 30 seconds. And if hanging up your clothes is something that you do automatically because your parents taught you to do it, or just who you are as a person, it may seem really, you know, like it's not that serious. And it may not be serious for you. But thinking about the one thing that you want to do, you have to just think about it, you know, in a bite size. What's the thing that you want to change? And the example that he initially gives for starting the habit, and that's why I'm saying it's really helpful because you can go to his website and he helps you, and the website is free. With this is the first example that he gave was the Maui habit. And the Maui habit believes like you just wake up to be positive and you say it's going to be a great day. So he creates this recipe format for the Maui habit, and it says, it has these two sentence starters: after I, and then I will. So for the Maui habit, it says, after I wake up and put my feet on the floor, I will say it's going to be a great day. That's it. So it's kind of like, if you want to start with a positive, you know, with a positive thought, your step is to wake up. As soon as your feet hit the floor, then you will say it's a great day. What I love about that is he also, it's simple. Like, today is going to be a great day. It's really simple. It's not like it's awesome or fantabulous or fantastic. It's just like, just a great day. And some people are like, not every day is great. You might start with today's going to be a good day. But it's just definitely starting on a positive note. You don't have to go, you know, if it were you thinking, I want to run a marathon, that you wake up the first day and you say, I'm going to run 26 miles. If you're just starting this, 26.2 miles, if you're just starting this, you may say, like, I'm going to run for a minute without stopping. Tiny, it's okay, because once you hit that minute without stopping consistently, you will push forward versus waking up and saying, I'm going to run 26.2 miles. And you've not even walked 26.2 miles before, or it's just starting really tiny is great. And you just, as you do it and you do it consistently, slowly but surely, you will add on to it. There are 8 steps overall in 2 tiny habits, but what this author does a really good job at is really honing into you and understanding before you even get through all 8 steps. You have to start with the smallest one first. So keeping changes small and expectations low is how you design around fair weather friends like motivation, because that was the other part that was key to the tiny habits. He has this thing called MAP. And in order to set up your tiny habits, the first thing is the anchor is the anchor moment. And the existing routine, like brushing your teeth, or an event that happens like the phone ringing, it reminds you when to do the tiny habit. And then you have the new habit, a simple version of the new habit you want, such as, you know, in my case, hanging up my clothes. So as soon as I feel tired, I hang up my clothes. So it's like, it's the blank, like, oh, I'm getting tired. I immediately go upstairs to my bedroom and hang up my clothes. And then you have to, step 3 is an instant celebration. And so your celebration doesn't have to be really big, like, you know, ice cream, or you can have it really small. And I thought the celebration wasn't that important, but it is. And he hones in as to why the celebration is important. And in my head, when I hang my clothes up, I just give myself like a yes. And those are the anatomies, right? The anchor moment, the new tiny behavior, and then the instant celebration. And he calls that ABC, anchor, behavior, and then celebration. And if you go to his website, you can put in certain habits that you want, and he will help you identify what your trigger, you know, a possible trigger for you. Because you're like, okay, so how do I find out what my trigger is? How do I know where this goes? And his website was very helpful. And it aligns to what the author of Atomic Habits said. He, in Atomic Habits, the example is wanting to work out every morning. And so that author would lay out all of his exercise clothes the night before and put it, I think, on a chair or at the bottom of his bed. So as soon as he woke up, there was no excuse as to why he couldn't begin his exercise. And with tiny habits, it's kind of like whatever that anchor is, as soon as it happens, you follow into the new habit. And then once you complete the habit, you celebrate. He also addresses things like behavior and motivation to do it. And so he says, a behavior happens when 3 elements of MAP. So he calls it, he says, behavior equals M, motivation, A, ability, and P, prompt. And when they all come together at the same moment, that's your motivation, is your desire to do the behavior. Your ability is your capability to do the behavior. and your prompt is the cue to do the behavior. And he gives the example on why it's easy to do it using text fundraising. And so the behavior is you want to donate to the Red Cross. And so as soon as you get the text, you remember, hey, you know, because it was a natural disaster, and you say, I want to help. So that's your motivation. A, the ability is as soon as you receive the text, you have the ability to just click and do your Apple Pay or however you're choosing to do it. And then P is the prompt. You were prompted because you got the text in the beginning, and so you're more likely to follow it through. And that's the same thing as you are doing your new tiny habit. Like, you're motivated. For me, I was motivated to have a clear chair because it's my reading chair. And I have the ability to hang up my clothes. I did have to buy hangers, though, because I ran out of enough hangers. So I had to make sure I had the hangers, that there would be free hangers so that I could hang up the clothes. And three, the sense of being tired is what triggered me to hang up my clothes, because when I'm unsuccessful, it's kind of like I'm exhausted and I just want to get in the bed, and it's easier for me to just throw the clothes on the chair than it is for me to hang them up. So as soon as I began to feel tired, I just changed. I just hang up my clothes, put on, either take a shower and put on pajamas, or sometimes just put on pajamas and, you know, start to wind down. So in looking at these habits, and what I love about this book is that it takes you through it every single step of the way. I found it to be an easy read as a book, 263 pages. Again, the introduction does a great job at giving you the overview of what is happening. And then the chapters do a really good job of explaining it very granularly. And I feel confident in recommending you that you read this book. And even doing this review is because not only did I read it, but I actually put it into action. I took all the steps and said, okay, let me think about it. How can I bring it down? And since then, have been able to do it in other areas. Is it perfect? No. But this sense of forgiving myself and taking any time that I don't do it, instead of me being a failure, kind of like with budgeting, I just take it as an opportunity to think, what happened that interrupted me not completing the habit that I want to complete? And I'm probably about 3 months in with the hanging of the clothes. And so still occasionally it might happen that I don't hang it up, but I would say a good 96-97% of the time, the clothes are hung up in the closet, and I feel much better because of it. So again, the book is Tiny Habits by Dr. B.J. Fogg. I definitely think it's something that you should pick up and read if you feel like financially, there's some things that you need to work out. So in the case I gave you, one was exercise, another was like cleaning. But if it is budgeting, let's say, a lot of people have a fear of looking at what they're spending. A lot of people have, you know, trouble thinking about like controlling their impulse purchases, those sort of things. You can create a habit for whatever you want to create a habit for. So don't think like, isn't this a financial podcast? Why is she talking about habits? Because it transfers in other areas. When it comes to financial habits, as you know, I prefer a spending plan to a budget. But I read the book, So You Need a Budget, and I will be doing a book review about that budget. And yes, So You Need you need a budget is a budgeting app or platform. Yes, but the founder of the platform also wrote a book about it. And I can tell you, and when I do the review, you'll hear that the book is really not about the platform or trying to sell you on the platform. The book is really about setting your mindset about budgeting. And there is a quote that I've seen, and I've been trying, it's so funny that I just Googled it last night because it's been popping up in my head. It was in a school that I worked in, and I finally had to, it was driving me crazy because I couldn't remember it and I couldn't find the picture of the poster that I saw it on. And so I've seen it two ways, one by Gandhi and one by Lao Tzu, I think is the other person. But it says, your beliefs become your thoughts become your words become your actions become your habits become your values, and your values become your destiny. That was the Gandhi quote. The other quote was, watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. Same thought, and because it's that way, I'm not sure who actually said it. But the actions, and why I always ask you, or I always say whether I'm interviewing someone, or I always say at the end of the podcast, is what is the highest leverage action step you can take to incorporate this knowledge, is because it is those tiny habits, those tiny actions that you take that will end up impacting your life, your destiny, your values. And so you really need to think, and they don't have to be large. I often say, well, I don't often say, but people often say, like that whole quote, tiny leaks sink giant ships. Those are the tiny habits, right? Those small little things that you're doing every day. So people don't just wake up one day with diabetes or overweight or not having enough funds. It generally is this, I overspent on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And that overspending over that time then blows your budget or leads you not to be able to meet your basic needs. It's rare that people end up in these situations over one event. Yes, you definitely have things like medical emergencies and medical bills. So we're going to take that out. But if you're trying to get your spending together, your credit together, just as, you know, it took a little bit to get into that space, the same thing is going to happen in getting out. So the action step that you can take, or the highest leverage action step that you can take with this book and Tiny Habits, is really think about what is the habit you would like to incorporate or extinguish financially or in your life in general. Because I feel like once you take one thing off your plate and you're successful at it, no matter what it is, it will encourage you to do the same things in other areas of your life. So identify what the habit is. Borrow this book from the library. I borrowed it. As I said, one of the few subscriptions that I have is Kindle Unlimited. And so I utilize Kindle Unlimited to borrow it. And it came up as a recommendation. So I don't know what I was reading that it came up as one of my recommended books to read, but it did. I'm happy that it did. So much so, they actually have a course where you can become a certified Tiny Habits coach. And I'm seriously considering it because I think it is so helpful. And in my work as an executive coach and in financial coaching, these are definitely things that I would use with my clients to help them either build habits in their professional life or build habits in their financial life, one tiny habit at a time. So thank you for listening. Remember, stay in the black. Thank you for joining us this week at Staying in the Black. Subscribe to make sure you never miss a show and visit our website at stayingintheblk.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at stayingintheblk. If you like the show, please tell a friend and leave a review in iTunes so that we can continue to bring you amazing episodes. Thank you for listening. See you next week, Gwen.